Hi, I'm Onas.
And I'm Grace.
We love the Wheel of Time fandom, and we love talking about why it's so special.
Our mission is to give back to the fandom through projects that amplify the fun and camaraderie.
I thought it was we make people cry.
Yeah, but in a good way.
This is
The Lights Work. Hello, and welcome back to The Lights Work. This is Grace, and I am here, as always, with my very nostalgic friend, Anas. How are you doing tonight, Anas?
We're taking a trip down memory lane. Nostalgic. I feel like we've used nostalgic.
I checked. We have
you
not.
You checked? We have not used nostalgic?
And wow. There's another one that I was thinking of using that we also have not used, and I'm shocked that we haven't. So I'll have to spring that on you like a really good time, because it's a good one and we have not
Unless
used it.
Unless I spring it on you before.
Yeah, which you probably will. And now, like, I need to double check, of course, that we haven't already used it. But I'm sure we already used
nostalgic, so.
No, I swear we didn't. Okay. But we're not here to argue about that. We are here with a very special guest tonight to help us get nostalgic about the place where basically we all met, which is Twitter of Time. So to talk about that with us, we have the Dragon Mother herself, Tigraine Shail from Twitter of Time. How are you doing tonight, Tigraine?
Good. How are you guys?
We're good. We're all cold, as we were discussing before. We all are in cold climates today, so trying to stay warm.
It is not fun. It is not the waste over here.
Just a different kind of waste.
It's like right.
The tundra.
Yeah, this is not great.
Well, thanks so much for being with us tonight, Tigraine. We've had you on our list since we started the podcast because it's all about the fandom, obviously, and Twitter of Time is such a huge part of the fandom, and you were one of the very first people to join Twitter of Time back in 2019. So we just wanted to know more about you and kind of get your take on the fandom since you've been part of it for so long, at least in this new iteration with the TV show. So maybe we could backtrack a little and if you could tell us maybe about your origin story when it comes to the Wheel of Time books and if you had any interaction with the fandom before Twitter of Time and the TV show.
Yeah, you know, it's weird because I was such a huge nerd growing up. Like, it started with, like, Redwall in third grade, the Redwall books. And I was actually really active in fandoms for that and for, like, Tori Amos. And I read the Wheel of Time around 12 or 13, which would have been right the perfect age for me to go online and find an online community for it. But for some reason I didn't for that series, even though I was like chronically online my entire life before it was even like cool to be chronically online. So it's kind of funny I never found it, but yeah, I used to just read really voraciously as a kid, and my dad kind of quickly figured out that anything he bought me with a horse, a woman, and a sword on the cover would go over well. And if anybody is familiar with the cover of Eye of the World, you've got Moraine, you've got Lan with his sword, and they're all on horses. So it was a very easy decision for my dad. And so he bought me that book, and I started reading them. And a bunch were out already because it was like 1999. And then, you know, I kind of kept following it and kept, like most people, I would reread all the previous books every time a new book came out. And then when Robert Jordan passed, I kind of lost track of it for a while because there was kind of like a lull where like no one really knew what was going to happen and all of that. And I remember kind of coming back to it like right after college and realizing it had been completely finished. So then I got all three of those books and completely just went through those. So yeah, it was really funny. I actually like randomly had an online friend when I was young, like actually send me, I think it was Crossroads of Twilight. He worked for a publisher and he like sent it to me like really early, like a beautiful hardback. And I was like, yes.
Nice.
So I must have been talking about it. I just wasn't in like the old like Tarvalen.net fandoms and stuff like that. So So yeah, that was kind of my origin fan story.
You mentioned, you know, the book covers and that, and I got sidetracked and I'm looking at which of the books had a horse, mm-hmm. and a sword and stuff like that. And then I found Crossroads.
Yeah.
Eye of the World.
Yeah.
And I'm still looking.
It was definitely Eye of the World.
Crown of Swords has one too.
Crown of Swords has one too.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So there's three that could have triggered that. That's so funny. Yeah, I was a very easy child to buy books for.
Sorry. So I'm still stuck on Tori Amos because I'm also a huge Tori Amos fan. And I wasn't really like in the online fandom, but I remember there was this one website that I would always look up the lyrics on. I can't remember what it was called, but I was obsessed with her and I would play her music in college and like I would always be looking up the lyrics. So that's cool that you're also a Tori fan. I feel like all maidens of this beer should be a Tori Amos fan.
They should. I actually recently just bought a CD player because I still have, like, I kept all my CDs in, like, one of those huge zip-up binders, and I still have it.
Yep.
And so I was like, I miss just listening to an album all the way through instead of just one-off songs on, like, Spotify.
Right.
So I bought a CD player, and I've been re-listening to all of her albums. So they hold up. They're great. They're awesome.
They really do. And I just cleaned out all of my CD collection a couple years ago when I moved, and hers were, like, one of the only sets of CDs that I kept because I used to collect, like I collected like her B-sides and everything. Yeah, I was like, I can't throw these out.
You totally could have been on the forums with me.
I know. Maybe we were and we just didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, that's so possible. I feel like there's so many ways I could have like crossed over. Like I found out like Dovey on Twitter of Time was a Redwall fan when she was young too. And she used to be in an online community. And I was like, how did we not already meet? We probably did.
Right. Like, yeah.
Such a small world.
I mean, it was meant to be, right? That's
truly. Yeah.
The pattern was weaving for a very long time and the paths finally crossed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's great coming to it as an adult because now you have the freedom and the means to go meet people, which my mom would never let me do. So now it's great because I actually got to meet a lot of people in real life and they're real life friends now as well.
So, you know, you had all of that. When were you like, hey, I should like actually go online and, you know, become Tigrayne Shaiel on Twitter? So how did that like, you know, wanting to be online and, you know, talking to people about the Wheel of Time and then choosing that specific handle?
It was interesting. I love listening to stuff as I like get ready in the morning. So I was always just like clicking around, listening to different podcasts, different YouTubers, and I decided to start listening to Daniel Green. But this was like before he started making videos with like images. He would make videos with like black screens and it would just be him talking and he would be reading comments about the Wheel of Time that people would like put in his previous videos comments and talking about them. It was like a very interesting video format. Like there was no visual to it at first. And I would listen to that and it kind of like got me back into Wheel of Time and like made me realize like, oh, I love these books. I should do a reread. So I started doing a reread. And then I was like clicking around on Twitter and I found Sarah talking about and like the announcement for Amazon Prime making the show. And I kind of found Sarah talking about it. And in the comments under like Sarah's tweet was like a bunch of just like character accounts responding to her. Mm-hmm. And one of them I kind of like clicked into because someone else had asked in a reply. They were like, how do I get in on this like weird character thing that's happening right now? Like, is there someone I need to talk to? And someone responded to her like, anyone can make one. But I have a list linked in my bio if you want to see the list of accounts that are already taken. So I went and looked at the list and at the time, like the main ones were kind of accounted for. And so I was like, I need to figure out like a very minor character that I can just kind of make my own. Cause I was like, I also don't want to be like stuck trying to imitate, like if it's like a Matt and you're not like able to encapsulate Matt in a tweet, like that's a lot of pressure. So I was like, I need to find one I could kind of make my own. And so I went through the list of characters in the book and landed on Tigraine, and I was like, oh, that feels right. That's a cool name, and she's a cool character, and we'll pick her. So that's kind of like the disjointed path. It was like Daniel Green to like the Amazon Prime news to Sarah to like seeing that comment. So yeah. So then I made the account. I started tweeting.
Yeah. Do you remember what your first tweet was?
No, but I think my pinned tweet, the one about, it was like one of my first Tigrants, and it was about what an unappreciated character she is. And it's still my pinned tweet to this day. I think that was fairly early days. Like, I think that was probably in the first month or so, if I remember correctly. I'd have to look at the date on it. But no, I don't remember my first tweet. It's
funny you bring that up, Grace.
Oh, God. Are you going to pull out the first tweet?
I do. I have your first. There were actually two within 20 minutes of each other when you first arrived on Twitter.
Oh, God.
And the first one didn't get as much traction. It was, the missing daughter heir is no longer missing.
Ooh.
Yeah, very, like, pretty mysterious.
Yeah.
And then your second one a little bit later was, it seems the wheel has spun me out once again, .. Hashtag Twitter of time.
Oh, that's
and that's when more people found you. Yeah. Yep. You got the hashtag. You got a lot of likes and replies on this one. So, yeah.
That's so funny. That's a great first couple tweets. I was really worried it'd be something embarrassing.
Not at all. No, mine, we have talked about that before, and other guests have too, about how like they're kind of like, you know, tagging all the accounts and stuff and, you know, just posting more embarrassing stuff. But no, from the very beginning, you were a like,
on
extra
character.
Well, on character, but also like a, you know, a very good tweeter. Like, you have the you have it down to an art, I think.
Yeah,
when you tweet.
Other than forgetting the hashtag on the first one, which is so funny. Is so funny because like in the time that I was like heavily memeing, like default Rand used to always have to DM me, and he'd be like, delete that and repost it with the hashtags. Like you're gonna get so much more traction. And I never could remember to do the hashtag. It was really bad. So shout out to Rand for that.
Yes. Yeah. He is such a good like ambassador into Twitter of time for sure.
Yeah.
And it's cool that you knew about it that early on, because I don't think I knew about the hashtag until I was a few few tweets in. But you mentioned your Tigrant, which is pinned to your profile. For people who might not know, what is a Tigrant?
So it is where, so one thing that's hard about Twitter for me is I'm actually like a really lengthy speaker, and even more so in writing. So the character limit was always really hard for me, but they have this thing where you can thread tweets. And so whenever I really wanted to like deep dive into something, I'd make a tweet thread, and just to make it fun and allow for myself to be a little unhinged, which is normal for me. I started branding it like a Tigrant in the hashtags of the first tweet, and I'd usually do like a disclaimer to like accompany it so that if anybody couldn't handle it, they could click out. But it's just basically like, yeah, little rants I would go on about hot topics. Like one that gets brought up a lot is the Matt bias rant. Because Matt kept winning polls, and everyone was just like, is there a Matt bias? Like, and I was like, let me rant about this. Yes, there is.
Is that your favorite? Is that your favorite one? Do you have a favorite Tig rant?
Oh, gosh. I don't know what all I've ranted about over the years at this point. I feel like there's been so many. I would say that one's probably a pretty solid one. It was definitely a hot topic at the time. I actually think it healed the Matt bias. Like, if you notice, if you look at the timeline of polls that happened in Twitter time pre that rant and after that rant, it kind of like made people aware, and I think it healed everyone of their Matt bias, and he stopped winning every poll he was in. So I take credit for healing Twitter time.
The influence that you have is incredible. So are you the inventor of the hashtag Matt bias? Was that the first time anyone had said that?
I don't think so. It was like a big discussion point, because at the time there was like an account that would like post a poll every day. It was like polling was like just like a really big thing. And inevitably, if someone went up against Matt, and I think it was just eventually like a few of the women who kind of see that, like, okay, Matt's an entertaining character, but he's also a little bit of, like, a creep sometimes in the books.
Yep.
And I think some of the women who just recognize that were like, wait a second, why does Matt win every poll? How is Matt winning against, like, it's like a poll of, like, who's hottest against, like, Lanfear and Matt, and Matt would, like, win. We're like, this isn't right. This isn't right. So I think it was just, like, a discussion point, and then I kind of addressed it and in a Tigrant. And I always just try to keep them light. You know, I try not to have it be too serious because I like to be a little unhinged with it. But I think I've posted some loony theories as Tigrants as well.
I like the aspect of don't come at me. Like, you know, that like, you know, where you're like, this is not, you know, this is me, an opinion or, you know, mm-hmm. your thoughts on something. And I really like that because it's like this is not a discussion point. That people should come and be like, no, but actually, this is how, yeah. Because that's what most of these discussions turn into. And it's like, no, that's not the point of this.
You know, yeah. So,
yeah. I mean, it's hard. It's internet, you know, that's the nature of text-based interaction on the internet. But thank you for doing tech rants. They're fun to see because because you're right. You know, there are that, you know, I don't know if unhinged, I mean, you use the word unhinged, but there's like this element of chaos to it, which is which is fun.
Yeah. I think, yeah, people definitely love to, like, I'll put an opinion out there and people will kind of respond, like, correcting it. Like, they'll be like, well, actually, or, you know, first of all, and I'm like, it's just my opinion. Like, we're individuals. It's okay for us to think about something differently. Like,
yeah, like write your own rant. Like,
yeah. It's just like so funny because it's something so subjective. And I'm like, of course, like, I've lived a different life than you. It's okay.
So, you know, we talked about, you know, how you got there. But I mean, Twitter has changed, that interaction, that space has changed. What do you remember of, you know, those first few months, 2 years, you know, before the show came out, the early days, the, you know, what's your nostalgic look back on the early Twitter time days?
Oh, gosh. So, yeah, anybody who started in season one with the wait from season two knows that the longer you go without the show or show news, the crazier people get. And so, like, imagine just, there was no news because there wasn't anything happening. Like, we found out so early on, like, before, you know, I think Sarah has said in the past that she was, like, employee number one that Rafe hired. And I don't think there was employee 345 yet. And so we were so in advance and there was nothing really out there. So, I mean, we really just entertained ourselves. And I think that was a great part of it, is everyone was so game to join in somehow. Like, the character accounts were all just, like, so entertaining and so good at, like, joking around, and, like, everyone would jump in each other's replies, and everyone, it, like, didn't matter, like, how funny you were. Is if you were just, like, game to try, people would interact with you. And even the people that, like, didn't necessarily have character accounts would sometimes get little characters themselves. Like, they'd be like, well, I'm a dark friend. So, and then we, like, knew that account was a dark friend moving forward and stuff like that. And, or they would, like, respond to you as your character, which was great, even though they weren't necessarily in character. And so I think just some of the antics were really fun. Some of the conversations you could have, and the way you could kind of play with each other was different because it took away that, like if Dane Bornhold, you know, tells me I'm a horrible person. He's not telling me I'm a horrible person. He's telling Tigrange she's a horrible person. So there's, like, a level of playing around that just, like, it was, took the pressure off, I guess. Like, things weren't as personal, but it allowed to kind of have, like, a safe space, like, joke around and roast people without it being taken too seriously. And so it was just really fun. I remember there were, like, threads that would end up being like 40, you would be like 40 replies deep, and it would just keep going, and more people would chime in or get tagged in, and everyone would just pick it up and keep going. And just a lot of, like, sitting on my couch, looking at my phone, just hysterically laughing and, like, tweet something out. during those days. And yeah, everybody was just so game to like just be goofy. There was like nothing else to do. The books had been out for 30 years. They've been discussed, you know, there are way better content creators out there than us. So we were just being really goofy. A lot of memes, a lot of just joking around and having a good time with the material. And it just really like bonded a community. And I think that joking nature is what made us so lighthearted and made us so welcoming, was because like it wasn't this like elitist thing. Like if you came in as an elitist person, you were going to have meet a white cloak and get knocked out a peg or two real quick. So, so it was just really fun. It was very innocent, very fun. It was good times.
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple of things I think you mentioned there that we've talked about, you know, especially the, you know, being creative and having that outlet that, you know, writing a tweet and sharing your experience, that's, you know, creating content. You know, that's your kind of contribution. Not taking yourself too seriously, right? Mm-hmm. You know, just like you're here to have fun. But the funny thing, you know, I love how you're like, we don't even have to do anything. You're like perfectly setting up our segues. So the fact that you mentioned Dane, Grace, what do we have with Dane?
Oh gosh.
Yeah. Well, we want to ask you about Dane, but I also feel like I want to mention this other tweet that we found of yours that you're describing these early days. And as you were talking, I find myself getting like a little emotional and like definitely nostalgic for those first days. And when you said like sitting on your couch just laughing at your phone, that was so relatable for me. And I just like, I miss those days and I feel so much love for those days. Yeah. And just, you're right, it was such a lively, joyful, fun, lighthearted environment. But it was also crazy, as you mentioned. And so recently, actually in September of last year, you tweeted, "Early days of Twitter of Time was so unhinged. We had no news, theories, or content, just knowledge a show was being made, a handful of character accounts, and a complete and utter lack of shame."
Yes. Pretty much sums it up.
Yes, that was like the perfect summary, I thought. So I like immediately bookmarked it. I was like, oh yes, total fandom memories. But yeah, so Dane, like that was one of the big things when I first joined. It was like this infamous feud the two of you had, or like a rivalry where you were always kind of yelling at each other. And it's funny because Tigraine and Dane Bornhold have no interaction in the actual books. But in my mind, they're like mortal enemies, and like their paths must cross at some point. Do you remember how that feud happened and like what started it?
No, I don't. And now I'm wishing I could have like researched before this thing, because I'm sure it's really funny, but I don't know. Like, Dane joined around the same time I did. So I think he was kind of like new then. Jarrett Beyer was there, I think, a little bit before us. And him and Beyer already had this thing going where it was like a homoerotic bromance situation happening, which was hysterical to me. And I think I just really early on identified both of them, but especially Dane, as like someone with my same sense of humor. And so I think my guess would be how it started is that I just started responding to him, needling him, and giving him shit. And I know that there were times, especially early on, that he would DM me and be like, "Hey, like if you're ever uncomfortable, just let me know." Or he would tweet something and he'd be like, "Hey, that felt really mean. Are you okay with me tweeting that to you?" And so I knew he was like a really nice person behind the account, and I was like, "Yeah, it's fine, trust me." And then eventually over time, like, we got to know that it was totally safe to just say whatever, and we wouldn't get mad. And so we just developed that rapport. And when you have that with someone, like, there's a lot of people in my life I've had like friendships where like we roast each other a lot and can like make fun of each other a lot. And when you have that with someone, it's so great. And it's so entertaining. Like, that's some of my favorite sense of humor, is just being able to like lovingly poke fun with people and kind of give them stuff, like give them shit. And, you know, like I said, with it being our characters, it's a lot less treacherous ground too. Cause it's like, it's not about me. It's not about him. It's more just like the character itself. And so I used to talk about him, you know, abandoning the women and children in Evansfield to die, you know, to die at Trolloc hands. And they really, him and Beyer really started the whole thing about me abandoning children. Because, I mean, what else could you find wrong with my character? So they had to latch on to something. And so they latched on to this tragedy in my character's life and made it like she did it totally deliberately. So yeah, so that was pretty funny. So they started the whole baby eating situation and that I just abandoned children and and that I'm irresponsible and all of that good stuff. So it, I don't know. I don't know how it started, but it's been a blast.
Yeah, it's so funny how people's characters evolve into their own thing and that is now in our fandom canon, at least, that you are this like absent mother that likes to yeet babies. It's just so random, but it's who Tigraine is now, you know?
Yeah, it's the canon. It is what it is.
So you mentioned you wish you had done some research. Well, we are here to do that for you.
We
did find your first tweet response to Child Born Hauled.
Oh my God, you guys are amazing detectives.
Hey, we do the lights work. We have to go all the way. I don't think this is not the start of your feud. I don't think this is relatively tame, but there is a little spice to it.
It's there.
Okay. It's there. You can see.
There's a foretelling.
There is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh my God,
yes.
I'm so excited.
Okay. So you started this tweet thread, and you said July 5th. So this was only 4 days after you joined, right?
Yeah. Oh my God, it was that fast.
Yeah. So Randland friends of Twitter of time, if you survived the last battle, what did you go on to do afterwards? First of all, great question. Like, I feel like that's another reason you became so well known and like have so many followers on Twitter of time is that you always started really interesting conversations or you'd give like a prompt and it would be really fun to respond to. This is one of your first tweets
prompts.
Like that. Yeah. And Dane replied, left the children, married a Tara Bonner beauty, then had 6 children named after my fallen comrade, Child Beyer. Jarrett Jr., Jer, Rhett, Jerry, Baya, and our only, I think, only girl, Jaretta. We're living on a farm raising Tyran horses, and the herd is protected by an ugly wolfhound named Perrin. And then you reply, I hope you're teaching them to fight the shadow. Beyer would have wanted that.
Yeah, there's definitely some passive aggression there.
Totally. And then Beyer responded to you in all caps. So I can see how this trio was starting to form where you're all sort of egging each other on. It's really great.
Oh, that's so cute. What a great response from Dane. Shout out to Dane. That's a very
intense. I know. He is hilarious. I really enjoy all of that stuff.
It's funny you mentioned, you know, that you two have like the same humor. And like, I didn't realize that until you said that. Mm-hmm. And why it's so funny when you have that interaction. Because you understand that humor. And that's why it's, it like clicks, right? You know, if you have two people just... not, you know, feuding and going back and forth, sometimes it's not funny, but and maybe just funny to you. No, it's funny to everyone because, you know, it's kind of obvious.
Yeah, I think we both understood like just to be ludicrous and playful and and it's just funny because it's been like when I think to like the really long-term friendships from Twitter of time, I mean, I probably talked to Dane every day since 2019 just through roasting each other and being mean to each other. And yeah, so he's like a brother to me. But it's funny because in real life, we would probably have never met or like connected because we're just such different people in real life. But we have that shared sense of humor that it's very like, the internet bond is strong.
And I love that behind the scenes story of you two checking with each other to make sure like it was okay. And, you know, being in character, it could just be about the playing with words and not about the person. But you still had that kind of care and consideration for each other, which we've found so many people in the fandom have. So I just love hearing that little behind the scenes because I didn't know. Because all I saw was the the fighting and eating and all of that.
No, we used to check in. And like I said, over time you get a feel for where the boundaries are and what's okay. And
Right.
It was good. It's so fun. Okay, so nostalgic.
I know, me too.
Yeah, that all of that. What do you think about Twitter time now? I mean, how has it changed? What does it feel like, for you to post, to interact? How is it different now?
It feels really different. It feels, well, first off, I think Twitter itself just functionally has gotten, like, with the, you know, takeover by a certain billionaire that we won't give a platform to right now. It changed a lot. But also I think with the advent of the show, like, the first season was actually really stressful because all of a sudden I felt like I went from being kind of in this, like, contained ecosystem of people. Like, there were times I would remember that, like, all of this is public and unmoderated, and I'd kind of be like, wow, anyone can come along and read what I'm writing. That's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Because you felt like you were in a contained group of people.
Yeah.
Right.
So realizing you're on this bigger platform that anyone can access you and your tweets in this group is kind of funny. And I think the first season really made me brought that home in the sense of all of a sudden I felt like I had a sense of, like, a lot of the people that I was interacting with, even people that, like, I wasn't super close with or whatever. Like, generally I kind of knew their vibe, and all of a sudden I had these people responding to me that I've never seen before and didn't know their vibe. And sometimes it felt straight up hostile or like not good. And so that changed a lot. And then that kind of died down when the season ended and it kind of went a little bit back to normal. But I think there's been a lot of shifts. I think the idea of character accounts kind of, I think, faded a little bit. I think, like, for various reasons, I think some people had bad feelings towards some character accounts that were maybe not used for the best purposes, but also, like, Twitter is anonymous in general, so whether it's a character account or whether it's just a screen name, you're going to have people being weird. So, like, I never really,
people,
like,
people on the internet?
So I just, like, never really associated it with, like, a character thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're right.
I think it kind of changed. And I think some people who were unhappy with the show fell away. Like, we just never saw them again once the show aired. It was like, I'm done with this. And so I think it has gone through a lot of change. And I think there's been, you know, like, over time, there's been, you know, kind of an increase in I think, just more interpersonal stuff and conflict. I think people, I don't think it's as cohesive as a group anymore. And so I think people get into fights a little bit easier because of that, because it's kind of not just the smaller group. It's kind of more multiple groups. Like, there's different factions, which I think I tweeted something recently about, oh my god, we're like a real show now, because there's these factions of, like, shippers that I've never seen before, and they only watch the show, and they're fighting with this faction of book readers who are telling them that the ship isn't gonna happen. And so it's just
we made
funny.
It guys
yeah but like in a kind of a sad way because yeah. It's like the same drama you would see in, like, Game of Thrones or Witcher or Star Wars. Like, you see those similar kind of things popping up now because it's gotten bigger, and now there's people that, you know, I think people who kind of came up with the books, like Jordan Con. I remember the first year I went to Jordan Con was actually the pandemic year, and they did it online, and I went to, like, the dance online which is really funny. But I remember everyone telling me, like, Jordan Con has this thing about just, like, no jerks, don't be a jerk. And I felt like that was, like, a thing that was threaded through and maybe slightly inherited by Twitter of time that kind of gets diluted the more people that didn't come up in that kind of come into the fan base. So I do think it's different now. I think there's still some really great accounts that are active, and I think there's definitely some people still worth following, but it's definitely not the same little sheltered little, I don't know, clan hold it used to be.
Yeah, I agree. I really miss it. And at the same time, I feel like I have made so many connections with people mm-hmm. that I don't need it as much anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I interact with people now as like my friends on Discord or even texting. And as much as I miss that fun, playful atmosphere and all the people too that have, mm-hmm. you know, gone away or disappeared, I am happy that I now have like true friends and not just internet friends.
Yeah, totally.
I definitely, there's definitely a lot to miss about those early days.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on the future of Twitter? Like, should we all be moving to Blue Sky now? Like, what's the vibe? You know, you seem to be an expert. So what do you think?
I mean, I got on Blue Sky and I really like it. I think it's the best, most, it's a platform of all the other options that felt the most like Twitter. So that would be kind of my bet. Mm-hmm. But I think it feels like people are really hanging on to Twitter, you know? And so I think it's hard because it's like not, it's weird because like some people have moved over there. I go over there and I see some accounts and I'm like, oh, I haven't seen them for ages on Twitter. They must have just moved. And so I think if it continues to kind of break down and not be super functional and be crazy, I think more people will move to Blue Sky and that'll kind of be the future. But I think there's going to be a faction of us hanging on pretty long. Like, it's like, I was thinking about this yesterday. I was like, it's like muscle memory. I'll open Twitter, just like muscle memory. And I get mad now because the tweets don't refresh as much like they used to. So I'll open and see the same like tweets I saw 10 minutes ago. And I'm like,
yep.
Yeah, I want to see these tweets again. Yes. Elon. Yes. Like, fix your.
Thank you so much for saying that. You have just like made me feel so much better about my life because the same thing happens to me. And I definitely think like I'm definitely one of the people still hanging on. I do have a Blue Sky account, but I never go on there. And I really feel like I should, but it's hard when I'm still so attached to Twitter. Even though it's like the feed has changed so much, it's like hard to find people. And I'm getting a lot of like political stuff. And I feel like I don't have control over what I see.
Yes.
And that's frustrating. And you actually mentioned this in another tweet that we found. Mm. You were talking about changes. A lot of people were complaining about how the feed had changed. This is from November of 22. But you were complaining about the blue check marks showing up that were just like, was this before Elon? Am I going crazy?
No,
I don't know.
November 22?
I think it was 22 when he
was it really?
Oh, I think is that when he was doing the thing where he was letting people pay for them?
Well, let me read the tweet and maybe you can tell us, because I just confused myself and I'm wondering when this was. You say, I haven't suffered any changes to my feed yet, but if those blue checks start showing up, I'm going to block them the same way Child Bornhold, taking up the white cloak, blocked him from ever knowing the love of another.
That would be about the blue check, the sold, because he was started selling the blue check marks for $8 very, very early on when he took over.
Okay.
That would have been about that, like, because everyone's like, oh my god, I'm getting all these weird blue check mark guys in my replies. And he was like, the algorithm was like boosting them,
right?
So they'd always be like the first replies. And I'm like, I'm not dealing with that. That's funny. Poor Child Bornhold.
I know.
I'll never know love.
He can't even escape your complaints, your tweets complaining about Twitter. He'll still be.
Yeah.
There'll still be some way to like jab at him somehow.
Oh, that's so funny.
So we've talked a lot about Twitter of time. And through that, there have been all these threads of like, this fandom is a really special place. We've met a lot of people we really care about, people, you know, we've felt safe interacting with online and joking around with. And that's sort of the whole thing that inspired our podcast, thinking about, like, why is the fandom so special? What does it mean to us? How has it changed our lives? And who are all of these people that are so awesome? So I wanted to get your take on why you think the fandom is so special. Is there something in particular about Wheel of Time fans? Or, like, what is your theory behind that?
Good question. I'm going to say barrier to entry. I think the books are so long and so big that it just naturally kind of, there's just like this natural barrier to entry where I think you really have to love the story and you really have to love fantasy and getting kind of swept away in something. And I think there's values inherent in people that will stick with a series that long and wait years between books and keep reading. And so I think there's just this inherent, like there's several communities in my life that are like difficult to get to. And I always hear people say like, oh, I'd love to do that. Like, oh, I really want to. And I always kind of am like, well, like if you wanted to, you would, you know? And so I think that's kind of it in a nutshell with Wheel of Time is like there's this natural kind of thing of like, you have to be a really passionate person. And I think that just to read the books and love them, you have to give a shit about what's going on in other people's heads because you're in these internal monologues constantly for 14 massive books. You are living in other people's heads and that's empathy. That's everything. That's why I love reading is it gives you the chance to walk a mile in another's shoes. And so to stick with that and to fall in love with someone else's internal world. And Jordan was so great at bringing real internal worlds, you know, like people get annoyed with the characters for a reason, just like I'm annoying in my brain too. and so I think that the length of it and the depth of it is you just have to naturally be a certain type of person to really enjoy that. And I've met people who have read the books who are like they've read some of the books and they're kind of like, oh, well, you know, and I'm like, okay, but did you like read all of them? Did you love them? I don't know. I just think if you get through all of them and you really love them, it means something. There's something in you that it just brings those qualities out and you're empathetic and you can understand that. You can understand that Nynaeve sees things differently from Matt and you know, and you can apply that to your world. And I just think that naturally, that kind of awareness and that kind of empathy makes people better human beings just kind of naturally. And so I don't think it's a huge step to then enter a fan community and kind of apply those same principles, you know, and that same thing that the books trained you to do, which is be empathetic, walk in other shoes, you know, understand that people are different and love them for their differences. You know, we love a lot of characters because those characters are not normal. And so, you know, there's no need for conformity. Like we embrace self-expression and we have all those things there. So in summation, I just think it the sheer volume of it creates its own kind of testing ground, and if you get through it, it's because of you have these qualities probably.
Yeah, I mean, I think one of the things we've talked about that probably relates to that is like we like not to spoil, but I feel like there's no way you can't spoil with this particular is it's about them all, so it's about mm-hmm. us all, so there's like this you know, very strong, like it's like you know being together, being conscious of other people, being you know, fighting for other people or being there for other people or being considerate, all of that. Mm-hmm. It's so you learn that from the characters and those are the sort of things that again, you know, we like to believe mm-hmm. at least for our fandom to be in a bubble. There are obviously things that happen outside this bubble that may not mm-hmm. be those things, but a lot of very strong examples of the things you spoke about with mm-hmm. just people, you know, once you're in it because you've read these books, that shines through.
The books are kind of like the threefold land, you know, it's the testing ground. It's the way we hone our spheres, you know, like if you can do it, then you're in a really good place. Your toe is met as a people.
So, yeah, I mean, talking about this quality that unites Wheel of Time fans in terms of being able to love each other and, you know, appreciate each other, even though there's flaws. And also, we found, like, do really nice things for each other and kind of go above and beyond to make someone feel good or special, or, you know, celebrate their birthday on Twitter, or, you know, just little things like that, or sometimes big things where people donate money and other resources for each other. So, you know, that's kind of what we would consider the lights work. And we also, you know, whenever we have a guest, try to think about ways that they've shown the lights work. So one thing I've seen you do, Tigrayn, is helping to sort of mediate disagreements on Twitter of time. Like, not only have you had, you know, these great rants and funny tweets, but you also can be serious at times and help sort of protect the fandom in a way by sticking up for people. And you don't usually stay neutral either. You make sure that you take the side of really protecting maybe somebody who doesn't have as strong of a voice, and keep, you know, what did you say about Jordan Kahn? No jerks, or like,
don't be a jerk.
Don't be a jerk. You sort of have that stance. So we're wondering kind of what inspires you to do that.
I think I just have always had a hard time with when I think something's like unjust or unfair. And I just, so like, I just have always, like, even since I was a little kid, like, I couldn't stand to see other kids like be bullied, and I would find a way to, my own little way to intervene. And so I think in some ways, like, there, like, it just is like, I almost can't help myself. Like, I feel like I have to sometimes step in, but I also have empathy for the jerks too. And so, like, there, because there's times where, like, no one's really wrong. It's a lot of times it's like someone had a bad day and they took something someone else said the wrong way. And maybe I happen to know that person, so I know that the way they intended it was not how it's taken. And so, I don't know. I think sometimes it's like hard to see ourselves. And, you know, I've been guilty sometimes of like, I'll get into a discussion, I'll get like just like really fed up with it. I'll be like, what are you talking about? And so I think, I don't know. I just think that like, I love the community, and I always wanted it to be a place where people could feel good, and not just good in terms of like a shiny, happy veneer, but like good, like, okay, like if there's a real problem, we're gonna address it, you know? But also good in that, yeah, like if someone's kind of being bullied or something's being taken the wrong way, you know, it's not just gonna be like a tide of an echo chamber or whatever, because that can happen so easily online. So I don't know. I just like, I think a lot of what I do is just call to remember each other's humanity of like, listen, we all have bad days. We sometimes phrase things imperfectly. But also if you're the person phrasing something imperfectly that offended someone else, like understand that your intentions might've been pure, but the impact you had on someone was negative. And like understanding that, because I think, a lot of people don't understand that, oddly enough. Like, they think, well, my intention was good. And it's like, well, now this person's really upset. So, you know, we got to find a bridge, or you have to, you know, block and move on. And it sucks to see people block and move on, because that divides the community, especially over something that could essentially just have been a misunderstanding. So I think for me, it's just like a thing I've always felt compelled to do. I think I do a little bit less of it now, just because the community has become bigger, and the factions are kind of like, there's entire factions of people that I just don't even know anymore. So I'm like, I have no idea what you're on here to do. so I'm not going to waste my energy. But yeah, I mean, if it was still kind of someone from the core group or whatever, I'm still happy to do that. And I would hope that people do that for me too. Like, I have bad days too. And I would hope that people would extend some benefit of the doubt, and, you know, or if someone was bullying me, I would hope that someone would kind of step in. And they have. There's been times where, like, I've had people, like, there was this one guy that I blocked because he was just kept making really, like, creepy and aggressive comments, especially about, like, the female characters in the books. And I just kind of got fed up with him, blocked him. And he went on this like rant whining about me blocking him. And people were really supportive because it was like very public and everybody was like really supportive. They're like, you don't, she can block you if she feels uncomfortable, like let it go. And so I appreciated that. And so I think when you're care about a community, you have to kind of be willing to take care of the community. And sometimes that involves people disagreeing and conflict, and it's not always bad conflict. I've seen people get into fights and then become really good friends afterwards. So you just never know, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I've definitely felt that. It's almost like, you know, you come back to Twitter after like a day or so, and there's like rumblings of something that may have happened, and you're like, people are talking about something and I don't know. And I've always felt like, you know, you like address it, not like head on, but like pretty, you know, with this, what Grace mentioned about, you know, and it's like, oh, okay. All right. I understand what's going on. And so I've always appreciated that, you know, it's kind of this sincere being an adult moment, you know, where, you know, it's like, you know, maybe it's kind of in character being the dragon mother too. You know, it's almost, you know, being.
Yeah. We're going to unite the four clans, guys, and we're going to go kill Lawman. So get it together. Let's go.
So, yeah, no, thank you. Thank you. You know, one way that we've definitely seen you do the light's work. What about the light's work done for you? You know, do you, in terms of, you know, instances where you felt like, you know, these, what we like to describe as, I guess one, you know, core tenet that we think of is this kind of random acts of kindness, or just, you know, showing this, going the extra mile, something like that.
I had one recently where when they sent out like the media kits for season two, and it was like a Horn of Valyr box with like a bunch of stuff in it, and everyone was posting their bathrobes, and I was like, oh, I really want a bathrobe. And then I was like, all right, I'm just going to post that I want a bathrobe, and maybe Tweeter of Chaos will send me one. And so I did that, and Tweeter of Chaos did not send me one. But Writing by Brie actually sent me hers that she got. And so she was like, yeah, you can have mine. She's like, I don't know. She didn't want it for some reason. And she's like, yeah, you can take mine. I'll send it to you. So, I DM'd her my address and she sent it to me, and I have it hanging up in my bathroom right now. So that was really so lovely. Sweet. Yeah. Cause I had a little moment of like, why am I not getting these bathrobes? So that was really sweet. I will also say, to your point earlier, Grace, I like to write prompts. And there's a couple years in a row on Christmas, or as I called it, Feast of Lights, that I asked people to share what they like about each other, or like positive things about Twitter of Time or people in Twitter of Time. And the responses of that to that were such like a goldmine of the Lights Work moments, and just lovely interactions that I wasn't even aware of until they responded to these threads. Like, this person, you know, helped me out. I was really like, someone helped someone else build like their website for their business, and helped them teach them how to do it. Like, I mean, just crazy stuff like that. And just lovely, like lovely things that were just so heartwarming. So that was something that I really enjoyed too, was hearing all those stories those years on Christmas.
Yeah, so speaking of the Feast of Lights, I actually found a tweet from you on one of the years. This was in December of 2021.
This is hilarious.
You gifted the fandom with something, which was a video of tweets from the fandom that you had prompted us to write, Wheel of Time pickup lines.
Yeah.
And then you got Michael Kramer and Kate Redding to read them to us. Oh, yeah. And you made it into a little video. And it's amazing. So thank you for doing that.
That was really funny.
I cannot get over Kate's, like she has this almost like a, I'm trying to think of the right, can you use deadpan for voice acting, because she has this way of, yeah, it's so good, because she like asks a question and then she answers it. It's just so good.
It just in a deadpan. I also just, so I did that before I actually listened to the audiobooks too, so like Michael Kramer's Zendaya. Because he has this like weird pause in it all the time that I didn't know about. And so I was like, is he recording it this way? It was fun. It was really fun. Yeah, that was great.
Totally. Yeah. Yeah, but I love your prompts. And I think the Feast of Lights ones are not the only ones that have led to a lot of Lights work sentimentality. Because I think when we all thought Twitter was going to die, you had like asked people to say like the things they their favorite memories, and so that was a really like
that was a good one.
Loving like sentimental moment. And then you had kind of a sentimental moment once we found from also December of 2021 where the Wheel of Time account asked us to tag someone that you would consider your Wheel of Time family using the hashtag WattFamily. And you quote retweeted and said, does anyone know how to tag everyone on Twitter of Time? Seriously, I could not sleep if I tried to tag and missed someone. You all have been an immense source of support and fun. Thank you. You're all my Watt family. And then three sobbing emojis.
I love a sobbing emoji. Yeah, I mean, it, like, it's crazy because if you think about 2019 till now, like, we went through the pandemic together. I mean, I was in lockdown and Twitter of Time was a huge, huge part of that. And I don't think there's, like it's so, I don't know if my mental health would have been as good through that had I not had Twitter of Time. It was such a great distraction. Even when people would get into fights, it was such a great distraction from from the world, what was going on in the world. So, yeah, I definitely meant that. It was it definitely is a family.
So, you know, we talked a lot about Twitter of Time, being Tigraine child, but the other kind of aspect of actually sharing with the community that you've done is the Randland TV podcast. So how did, you know, how did you get into that kind of, you know, making a podcast, you know, the show was coming out, and what's that experience been like?
It's been really good. I got invited on it. It was like the first time anybody had invited me to like guest content things. Like I had never been on the Dusty Wheel. I've never been on anybody's YouTube channel. They were really the first ones to ask me to come on as a guest. And I believe the subject was like polyamory, and I had to talk about like that heel and stuff. And I think Recapa was the guest on before me. So I've actually never listened to that episode because I don't like to listen to myself. And so I'm sure it was a very tough act to follow. But yeah, so they invited me on, and then I'm trying to think. And then I guess like the next kind of big thing was we all three of us met at JordanCon and just got along really well and developed a friendship. And it kind of just went from there, and they were like, be our Twitter correspondent. And I was like, okay, for season one. So for season one, what we did was they would do, Jay and Colin would do, the first like hour would be them talking about the show. And then I would kind of come on and it would be a spoiler section, and I'd read tweet reactions and stuff like that. And it was just really fun because I enjoyed like collecting the tweets. I enjoyed like kind of using it to highlight people. And then this season it was weird because then I was in both parts. I was in the non spoiler section as well. And I am not good at not doing spoilers. Like things that like, I don't know, like my brain just doesn't like catch itself. And so things that like, I'll say something thinking it's not really a spoiler, but then I'm like, oh yeah, it kind of is. And so I'm like the worst person to put on a no spoilers situation. And I had just moved. And so I was like, I think like there's at least one episode where I wasn't even in, I was like in between apartments and stuff like that. So like, I was also just like not quite present for this most recent season. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so this season was a little tougher for me, but I'm looking forward to getting back into it with season three.
Well, speaking of season one, I wanted to ask specifically about episode 7, The Cold Open. Mm-hmm. And just since we have you on our show, what was your reaction to seeing your character on screen for the first time?
Oh my gosh. I actually found the video I took.
You took a video of your reaction?
Yeah, I think I probably deleted it off my camera roll because I was like, why do I have this video of me crying? but yeah, I don't remember how this happened, but it's like I think someone tipped me off. Or maybe it was my second watch through. I don't remember. But like someone told me to record my reaction. And mm-hmm. It was so emotional. Like I just didn't see it coming at that point. I don't think anybody saw it coming. I think we were all kind of like had our bearings with the show. And like, I don't know. Like it's such a small part of the books that I didn't expect it to make it. And definitely did not expect it to make it in to that extent. But I think it goes to show how big of fans Rafe and Sarah are, because it's also a part of the books that, going back to my pinned tweet, is like kind of underrated. Like it's a really massive story in and of itself that could have been its own epic fantasy series of Tigraine's origins and Tam's origins. And I think that's like the number one thing when polls get put out of what prequel you want. They usually say like Tam and Tigraine. So I was just like so excited. I was so emotional. And it was just well done, which I appreciated so much. Like it didn't have any of like, I mean, like 5 stars. I had no complaints. So it being so well done and so emotional and the way it was threaded through episode 7, kind of the callback at the end when everything's revealed with Rand, was just like, mm-hmm. like I was, that episode was a ride. I was like, that was one of my favorite episodes. So yeah, I loved it. I loved every second. I was crying. I was like totally taken aback. Like her face mm-hmm. when she thinks Tam is going to kill her and then he's not going to kill her. Just, it was so well done. It was so well done.
I've never been, back then for sure, much of a tweeter. I was in the community looking in a lot. And that was one of the first tweets that I do remember that when I saw that, all I put out was like, that's just like 8 A's and that was it.
Yeah. Because it's hard to even say how good
because I remember like I was watching it, the lights were out, I watched it, mm-hmm. and it was the first time I was like, I had to stop, mm-hmm. I had to restart the episode and just like watch it again. Like I had to like immediately do that. And
You went back like right away?
Right away. As soon as it ended and the intro started, I'm like, I need to figure out what just happened.
I can't move on.
I need to go back, watch that again, and then go through with it. Yeah, season one, episode 7 is my favorite, specifically because I remember how I felt in those first, you know, number of minutes it was that we got. And do we have something to look back?
Yeah, Tigraine was much more eloquent than you were in reacting to the Cold Open.
I mean, like, you kill like 10 alien soldiers, you give birth, but then you still put out a really eloquent tweet. I mean, what more, I mean, what would you expect from from a maiden of the spear, the daughter, the former daughter heir? Yeah, all of the mm-hmm. all of that True. Training, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of training involved in both of those jobs.
And then you give birth, and then you die, and then you can mm-hmm. still write a really good tweet thread. Yeah. It's really amazing, actually.
So, blessed by the creator.
Yes, absolutely. So there were stages to this. So you had a live tweet thread going for episode 7. And mm-hmm. so your first response was in all caps. And it says blood with like 10 O's and ashes with like 15 S's and then exclamation points. I did not go down without a fight, like 4 exclamation points. Tam, you baby snatcher, let me birth in peace.
Yeah, that sounds like me.
It was so good. But then you kind of, you know, you processed a little bit. And then at the end, you wrote, this was so much more than I ever thought Shail would get. 3 mm-hmm. sobbing emojis.
Yeah. The way I stabbed everyone. Everyone.
Yes.
Oh, did I do that too?
Yeah, I skipped a few, but there's a lot. Yeah, it's
really
good.
There's a few where you're like, you know.
Yeah, that one is really good.
I'm nuts.
It's yes. So good. But it's I always
like, I know how annoying caps lock is, but
no,
I also feel like
deserved. Fully deserved.
Yeah.
That's like my way of letting the Wheel of Time on Amazon Prime know they did something good is when they see caps lock tweets from me. That means it's going well.
Yeah. I mean, if there was ever a time to use caps excessively, yeah. It was that moment for sure.
It's so funny. So you have the all caps, right? And then you're like, you have the crying emojis where you're like, oh my God, Shail. And then you have like the, this is where I feel like you like kind of went back a little bit where you're like, I was like, stab. Then I was like, stab. Then I was like, stab, stab, stab.
I just know what to feel.
It was so good. I mean, I can see your emotions there, you know, reading that.
It back. Was, because, like, you're like, holy yeah. shit, this is so badass, hell yeah. But yeah. then on the other hand, you're like, this is really sad. And yeah. oh, my God, and tragic. And, yeah. and it's like, I don't know what to be excited about or to be sad.
Like, yeah. Now I feel like, you know, kind of regretful I didn't have a better reaction to seeing Bane and Shiad in season 2. Like, I should have been like, I was like, punch, and then punch, punch, punch.
I showed up, Yanda. Yeah.
I so helped funny. Her meet her toe.
Yeah. Oh my God, that's hysterical.
Another thing that was cool that happened shortly thereafter is that you found the actress who plays you, Magdalena Satova. You found her on Instagram and on Twitter, and she interacted with you on Twitter, which was really cool. And one of the things she said in response to you was, just got to Twitter and reading these amazing tweets, how you love Tigraine and what I do, and all the support makes me cry. Thanks. Heart emoji. What was that like to interact with her?
Well, it was awesome. So the story behind that, there's actually a story to that. I don't know if I said it at the time because I think I was scared of getting her in trouble. But I was – so when that scene happened, everyone was tagging me in their tweets like, oh, my God, you did an amazing job. You kicked ass. And I was like, thanks, but that was not me. I am but a simple Twitterer. And so I went on Instagram and found her – and I DM'd her and I was like, hey, I tweet as Tigraine on Twitter. And I think I gave her like,
it's just know, like, I'm just her... thinking of that awkward kind of introduction.
Hi, I'm mind, you.
This is the first of what will be 2 times I know. I have to introduce myself to people from the show as well.
It's so good though. By the way, so I'm you.
That's what I said. I was like, I've been, you know, tweeting as Tigraine for like, you know, several years now. And she means so much to me. I was like, you did such an amazing job. Like, thank you. And then I told her, I was like, I'm getting all of these tweets for you. People are losing their minds over this scene. I was like, if you have Twitter or whatever, if you just want to go look, this is my at handle. Like, I've been retweeting them so you can see them, because I don't think she had Twitter. And she had no idea the response was that crazy. And I think she was like kind of blown away, was the sense I got. Like, she responded to me a lot in our DMs because I think she was just really taken by surprise. I don't think stunt actors get like reactions like that a lot. So she went over to Twitter, and that's how that kind of unfolded when she went and saw the tweets. And it was just like the sweetest thing, and her following me was so sweet. And she just, I just remember her saying like how much she loved the character and getting to actually like act as her. Because she's like, oh my God, like, yeah, the story of her is so incredible. I was like, yes, thank you. That's what I've been telling everybody. To Grants. But it was also one of those moments where I'm like, oh God, I hope she doesn't look too closely at my Twitter feed. Because I'm a little bit.
I hope she doesn't see any of the yeeting.
Oh my God. I was like, there's so much like funny stuff. Like, I hope she has a good sense of humor. Because she's like.
Yeah. You mentioned introducing yourself to, you know, other cast and crew. So you met Rafe. What was yeah. that like?
It was amazing. So yeah, they had a screening. I recently moved to New York, and they had a screening of episode 8 of season 2 at like this cute little like hotel theater. And I don't remember. I think they put it on Twitter, if I remember correctly. And you could like RSVP. So myself and Colin / Will, seen from Twitter, RSVP'd, and Shernice RSVP'd. And we all went. And we kind of didn't know what to expect. There wasn't a ton of detail around it. But apparently like a lot of the people that worked on the show were there.
Oh,
I forget what was going on in New York that week, but there was some reason a lot of people were in
Comic-Con.
I think New York Comic-Con, right?
Weekend,
yeah, yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah,
same
yeah.
weekend.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. So the theater, I would say, was like maybe like half, not even half fans. And then there was like just a bunch of people you could tell just from the conversation on the panel that were like somehow involved in the show, because he was like pointing to them and they were like, I'm here. So that I was like, oh, these are all like show people too. So yeah, so we went to that and Rafe was there and he did a Q&A and the theater kind of emptied out and I forget who started it, but someone just went up to him and started talking to him. And nice. Then all of a sudden there's a line of people and it's like, it's like, oh, Rafe, now you're doing a meet and greet. And I don't know if it was planned or not, but he was a great sport about it. So yeah, I had to go up to Rafe Judkins and I said,
yeah, so tell us let's reenact. Grace, you can be Rafe.
I don't know what Rafe said.
You can be Rafe. Creative license of being Rafe.
So I don't know. I think like at this point we had watched a bunch of people go up to him and have conversations, yeah. And I think at this point, like, we were kind of all like, let's just, if we just at least get a picture, like, yeah, that's enough. Yeah, like, yeah, we don't yeah. need to, like, try and become this guy's best friend.
Right.
Yeah.
So at that point, we just kind of were like, oh, can we have a picture? And he was like, sure, yeah, yeah. And when it was my turn, I went up and I just was like, and I got next to him, like, for the photo. And I was just like, so by the way, like, I'm Tigraine from Twitter Time. And I was like, everyone thinks I did the blood snow, just so you know. And I got all the credit for it. And I just said something really sassy like that. Like, I got all the credit for your scene. And he just was like, well, you deserved all the credit. Like, he went completely along with it and was like, you deserve all the credit, you did do all of that. And I was like, thank you. And we took our picture and I kind of moved on. But yeah, he rolled with it in complete, like, just really, really good sense of humor. And and he was like really cheerful and just loving with everybody. And Sharnice ended up talking to him for quite a bit of time, and he just was really great about it.
They're besties now, according to
yeah
Sharnice,
I can't yeah. But, like, me and Colin were like in the back like, what are they? How is she best friends with him right now?
She's amazing.
I know. I was like, who wouldn't want to be best friends with Shardy? So.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's so cute, though. Like, yeah. I could totally see Rafe just jumping right in.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
I mean, he's a Wheel of Time fan, right? So he's
yeah,
gonna,
he just
be, like,
with it.
Yeah, role play, like, just jump right in. Like,
he knows how we are.
Yeah,
he knows absolutely. How we are. He's like this. He's like, I'm gonna have some people say some things to me.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was really cute, and he just was incredibly. I don't know how often he has to like interact with fans, and because he didn't seem like burnt out by it or anything. Like, he seemed totally, like, if anything, energized by it, which I found refreshing. Because sometimes when people are coming off of like Comic Cons and stuff, they're just like, you know, right. Like, I have to talk to one more person. But he was totally into it, so it was really cute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost getting to the end of this episode. We're going to ask you some rapid questions before you go about some of your Wheel of Time opinions and thoughts. But before we get to that, anything coming up for you this year? I mean, it's going to be your 5-year anniversary on Twitter. Are you going to do anything special? Are we going to see you at any cons? Tell us, like, what's next for you?
I don't know, but you're inspiring me to go tweet again. Like, I've kind of been like, life happened. Like, I moved states and I think I slowed down a little bit. So now you're kind of making me like, yeah, I actually, you're making me remember to tweet. So I should do that. I think I'm going to go to JordanCon and I'm going to try and do the Prague MalkureCon.
Nice.
And other than that, I mean, hopefully season 3 comes out, but it might not. But if it does in 2024, that would be great.
Yes, that will definitely give us something to do.
Yeah.
I'm ready. Yes, for sure.
Absolutely.
And I will go to literally any media event they do in New York. So Twitter Chaos, if you're listening, let me know.
Yeah, I mean, New York, there's a lot of opportunities to run into people there. So maybe you will.
I hope so. Oh my gosh.
Okay, so rapid questions. We're just going to ask you a few things, and it's just the first thing that comes to your mind. You don't have to think too much. It's going to either be like one word or one thing in response. So, favorite Wheel of Time book?
Ooh, The Shadow Rising.
Favorite character?
I'm going to say Brigitte.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah. Besides Tigray.
Yeah. Perrin, Matt, or Rand?
Oh my god. I think I have to say Matt, and I hate myself for it.
Matt bias. It got to you. Min, Elaine, or Avienda?
You know what? I'm gonna say Avienda.
Other than the Blood Snow, favorite episode or scene in the TV series?
I really loved when the Shan Chan woke up Perrin.
Yeah.
That was just a great action scene. It was really exciting. Like, I clutched my heart. Like, I was kind of like relaxing on the couch, and that was like a sit up. Like,
yeah.
I was not expecting it. So I just really, on like a reaction level, I think that was like when I was like, oh, this show is going to be really good.
Yes. Yeah.
There were so many scenes like I really loved. Don't get me wrong, but that, the reaction of that was like,
I remember watching the first three episodes, and there were two scenes where I like was viscerally pulled into it.
Yeah.
That was the one, was the feeling like I'm being dragged down the stairs, like Perrin was, you know, that, you know, that, like the way they, that camera was, and like whatever, the sound. And the other was when, Leandrin slaps Nynaeve.
Like,
I felt like I was like, ah, don't slap, like, I got slapped. It was like, so I felt those too.
I also had like a really visceral reaction in that scene to Loial being like tied up and them trying to take him down. Like, I did not like that. No. I was like, these people are terrible. And
you don't do that to him.
You don't do that to Loial. Yeah.
Like, kind of perfect introduction to the Shan Chan, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That was like the first big action scene we got since Tigraine, I think. And and like a more larger scale one, not just like one person fighting. And I remember having that same thought as you, like, oh, this is going to be good. Like, they can do this. They did action well here.
Favorite actor on the show?
Oh, God. Ooh, favorite actor. Okay. So I really loved, I mean, this is like so obvious, everyone's going to say that this year, Natasha O'Keefe. but then Laya Costa at the end, kind of, that shook me up. That was probably another favorite scene. Her at the end like that, I was not expecting it, and it was so well done. I did not see that coming whatsoever. So she was a really, for only having been on screen for that little bit at the end of the season, she really was a scene stealer for me.
Yeah, I loved her too. Speaking of Natasha O'Keefe, though, as we were doing some research for this episode, we remembered that we, in our fan casting episode last year, we fan casted you as Lanfear. Or at least I think Anas did.
Yeah.
I had you as Dayelin from Andor. So having been fan cast as Lanfear, like, how do you feel now having seen Natasha's performance?
I love it. And also, she's the same age as me in real life.
Oh,
which
nice.
I was shocked about, because I was like, she seems so much more of like a put together adult than I am. It's like, why am I not an adult? It was awesome. And I kind of have like wanted to cosplay Lanfear for a long time, but I could never do show Lanfear because the costumes are so intense, like,
yeah,
so elaborate. I like, because I'm one of those people, like, if I do a costume, like, it has to be really,
yeah,
dead right. on. And I mm-hmm. but I also can't sew or do anything useful, so so yeah, I mean, I love it. I wish I had her wardrobe. Maybe I'll do book Lanfear though this year.
Nice.
Yeah.
So was Lanfear your favorite new character from season 2?
I would say so. Yeah. No one else really. Yeah, I would say so. I think she was probably the breakout. I mean, she was just awesome. I don't think there's any competition. Yeah, sorry.
All right. All right. So is Maxim a dark friend?
Oh,
gut feeling.
No. No.
Where is Ivan?
Where is Ivan? I think he followed Varen, right? Right?
We don't know. It's a mystery.
I don't know either. I'm laughing because, like, I really... this is going to blow your guys' mind. I only watch most of the episodes once.
Mm. No, that's not that crazy.
Because I wanted to, like, really... be able to watch it again and have mm-hmm. it still yeah. feel new. And so like some of the details are already fuzzy, so I'm probably about that time where I could rewatch and have it feel completely new again. But yeah, I thought he went after Varen.
So if you figure out where is Ivan, please let us know when you rewatch.
Okay, I'm gonna rewatch and like study that moment and like get a theory together for you guys.
Which Aiel character are you most hoping to see in season 3?
Ooh, okay. I would like to see Ruark.
Yes. Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm also really excited for the Wise Ones.
Yeah.
Just any of them or all of them.
Me too.
To see some channelers that aren't Aes Sedai and aren't like Domine, I think it's going to be really cool.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'll be so cool. Who do you hope gets yeeted in season 3?
Oh, God. Who do I hope gets yeeted? Barthain's Damodred.
Oh, not my little muffin. I love him so much.
He's a dark friend.
I know, but he's just so adorable.
He makes the best sandwiches in Cargill.
No.
He butters both sides of the bread.
Those sandwiches are full of evil. You cannot let them reel you in. I knew from the beginning, I was like, this guy is up to something. No one acts like this.
No one's
suspicious.
Strawberries or blueberries or thimbleberries. Like, no, you're dark friend.
No one's like my favorite Aunt Moraine, who like hasn't been here in 7 years.
Clearly, I'm not a good judge of character. Easily swayed by thimbleberries.
He's like, this guy's great. He makes sandwiches.
He's got finger waves and, you know, he's awesome.
He was a really cool character. I do like how they portrayed him.
I like their, you know, portrayal, like, you know, how they kind of changed the character to fit that dynamic. Yeah, it worked.
Yeah.
I loved the actor, too. Yeah. Like, I thought he was fantastic.
Job. Yeah. The Kai Rhiannon were all really fantastic. Yeah. Like, yes. I'm super excited for where that plot line goes with his marriage and stuff like that.
Yeah, I hope we see that.
I hope we do. They really need more time.
I don't know. Like, you don't think there's going to be
I mean, no. I think there are too many other things. We just need a Kyrian and spinoff. Like,
yeah, we do.
We need the Game of Houses or whatever. Dice
Housewives of Kyrian.
Just like imagine one of these like historical political dramas, but it's just the Kyrian and people. Like it would be so good.
It's not even prime time. Brilliant. It's like, you know, it's like during the day on cable.
Yeah. Soap opera. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Damodreds. The tutors and, you know, all those kind of like, you know.
Yeah. I love this. Rafe, if you're listening, hit us up. We will help write and produce this show for you. And also, I want a robe. Thank you.
Yes. Give everyone robes. Maybe they're waiting for next season. They're going to send us Gai Shane robes. And that's why we didn't get any.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. That's, okay. Yeah. I'll just,
that would
I'll
be
just tell
such
myself that.
a good marketing thing to just take fans Gaishin mm-hmm. through media kits.
Yeah, send them to all the Aiel character accounts.
Yes.
Yeah, I love
this. Okay.
That's this is now team. Our second really good idea, Rafe. So all right,
yeah. For the again. Third, we reach out to our people so we can connect, you know, and yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Well, Tigraine, thank you so much for hanging out with us and telling us all your behind-the-scenes stories from Twitter of Time. It's been a blast. And hopefully, maybe you and I together will have inspired some people to jump back into Twitter and role-playing and maybe try to bring it somewhat back to life. If not, I guess we'll meet on Blue Sky someday.
Yeah, that would be good. Aww.
All right. So if you like what we do at The Lights Work, please follow us on social media. You can find us on Twitter at LightsWorkPod. You can find us on Instagram at The Lights Work. You can also join our Discord server or sponsor us on Patreon.
Can they find us on Blue Sky?
We do have, I think I did make a Blue Sky account.
I think we did.
Done nothing with it.
Yeah.
but we're holding it down.
Yeah.
I think it's at The Lights Work.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah. 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 And until next time, it's your turn to go out into the world and do the Lights Work. The Lights Work is a Wheel of Time fandom podcast hosted by Anas and Grace.
The Lights Work is in no way affiliated with the Children of the Light.
Please leave us a review on your podcast platform of choice, follow us on social media, or sponsor us on Patreon.